Ladies and gentlemen, the leads, please. I apologize for taking a longer break than I actually urged you to do, but I think that everybody, or I hope everybody has an understanding for why we did it, because it is apparent that we had a fairly complex discussion about pomegranates. There were many arguments, well, you know, many different directions. So it wasn't that easy to make a conclusion, but I don't know if we gain anything from continuing the debate. We have heard strong arguments from many delegates, and I would try to propose a conclusion, which I hope that we can achieve consensus on in this committee. We have heard arguments in different directions. We have a project document. We have a proposal from the Near East Committee to accept pomegranate standard as new work, as new regional standards. We have proposals that it should better be a global standard that was supported by the Near East region, which came up with the original proposal. We have heard arguments from the chair of the Fresh Fruits and Vegetables Committee that, well, maybe, but they have a heavy workload, so it might be difficult to take on board that that job. It was not turned down, but practical obstacles was pointed out. The European member expressed views, anxiety that it might create difficulty to reach consensus on making a standard, because it is apparently a product that is being grown far beyond the Middle East, where the proposal is coming from. So we have arguments in all directions. So we may not be able to draw a conclusion which is as firm as we want to and as we usually do in this committee. So my proposal would be that we write, or our advice to the Commission is that based on broad discussion in the Executive Committee, there is support to the view that the project document actually lives up to the criteria that has been established for evaluating new work. And that means, from that point of view, the Near East Committee could go on with this as a new work object. But there are also voices in the committee arguing in favor of making a global standard. There are voices worrying about the amenability of making a standard at all. And on that basis, it is up to the CAC to decide whether it should be accepted as new work for the Near East Committee, or it should be referred to the Fresh Fruits and Vegetables for consideration, whether they could make or would find it amenable and feasible to make a global standard. Simply make it up to a decision in the Commission without any very distinct guidance by the Executive Committee. I think that is the a reasonable conclusion that we can come to today. We all realize that it means that discussion is going to continue in the Commission, but I think that will be the case no matter what conclusion we will come to. So this is my proposal for a conclusion on a fairly extensive and but difficult item. Is that acceptable to delegations? I think it's tried to include the different views that has been expressed on it. Member of Europe, please.
Yes, briefly, Chairman, I think that outcome has been the reached on the basis of quite a lot of discussion, so I won't object, but I think it looks very weak as far as this committee is concerned. We're now just passing it on as if we haven't got a view of our own and that we're not decisive. But having said that, that's my opinion, and you have summarised, so I guess we have to take it to the Commission. Thank you.
Member from Europe, well, I couldn't object to what you're saying, obviously, but I think that is the conclusion we can reach in this committee, and then we have to live with the fact that we might, on a single point, seem to be a weak committee. I think we can all bear with that. I hope you can accept that. So there seems to be no objection. that means this is the conclusion on this point. So I thank everybody for a very interesting and very thoughtful debate.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. بعتقد انه كان من الواجب على اللجنة التنفيذية ان تعطي المجال للجنة الشرق الادنى ان تبدأ بمشروع مواصفة اقليمية للرمان وان تحدد لها مسارا بما يخدم وضع مواصفة دولية على الاسس التي تقوم فيها لجنة الفاكهة والخضر المعلبة. وبالتالي لجنة الشرق الأدنى ممكن أن تختصر الوقت والفترة الزمنية لإعداد مواصفة دولية بشأن الرمان، بمعنى أنه الأمانة عند مناقشة مشروع المواصفة الإقليمية للرمان في لجنة الشرق الأدنى أن تحدد المعايير المتبعة في لجنة الفاكهة والخضر، سواء كانت من ناحية الشروط، سواء كانت ذات النوعية أو الشروط السيفتي بما يتعلق سواء كان بالمتبقيات أو بالمسائل المرتبطة الأخرى. وهي تختصر الوقت على لجنة الشرق، لجنة الفاكهة والخضر. شكرا سيدي.
Near East, sorry for the microphone. Coordinator for.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. أؤيد ما جاء به زميلي من الشرق الأدنى، ممثل الشرق الأدنى، وأضيف أن عرض على اللجنة استعراض تقييمي فيما يخص مواصفة إقليمية، ولذلك أرى أن تقر اللجنة بهذا العمل على مستوى الإقليمي، على أن تنظر الهيئة إذا أمكن ذلك النظر في صياغة مواصفات دولية، خاصة وأن الشروط مستوفاة، ولا يمكن لهذه اللجنة أن تنظر في التعقيدات المرتقبة من وراء عمل، بل النظر في الاستعراض التقييمي الذي تقدمه. شكرا.
Thank you, coordinator from Near East. I think you reflect what we're going to tell the commission, so I hope that is acceptable to you, and certainly you have the possibility to argue further in the commission, where we have to anticipate that we're going to have a discussion on this issue. So I hope that is okay with you. Then I think we have finished this product and or the Near East committee. Sorry, Secretariat reminds me that we have been so occupied by quite soon came to a conclusion on Tahina, and then we have spent all the resources of all the mind about pomegranates, but we certainly we didn't make any conclusion on the harissa, but I didn't hear any arguments against. Keep making mistakes. Too many names. I'm sorry. On harissa, we have concluded that there are no opposition towards accepting that as new work. But halva tahinia has not been concluded, and we didn't hear any remarks on it. There was no flags, and I don't think that there is any obstacle to accepting that. This will be conveyed to the Commission with the advice that it has been accepted as new work. And I see no flag, so I really apologize. So this was a slip of mine in my head. I hope this concludes the Near East Committee. And then we move to the contaminants in food, which have four proposals. And I would like to ask Tom to introduce these proposals and see if we can have a quick look at them and finalize these four products. Tom, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, all these, well, sorry. We have one proposal here for new maximum levels for fumonisins in maize and maize products. Levels to be set in order to protect consumers' health, and also for the associated sampling plans, which would allow controlling of the maximum levels. As part of the project of reducing, giving guidance to producers to reduce contamination of foods from different contaminants. There's a new proposal for creating a code of practice for the reduction of ethyl carbamate in stone fruit distillates, and for the code of practice for the prevention and reduction of aflatoxins in tree nuts. There are additional measures. It's not a revision as such of the code, but there are additional measures for, proposed for Brazil nuts. And last but not least, maximum levels proposed for melamine in foods and feed. So I believe that those four are fairly straightforward, and we could probably recommend this new work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Does the committee agree? That seems to be the case. I see nodding and I see no flags. So it is concluded that these four will be sent to the commission with the advice that they can be adopted as new work. Then we have a few more left in the document at one. It's one from the Pesticide Residues Committee, and it's one for the Vetrock Residues Committee. Take them committee by committee as we used to. Tom, could you?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is the usual business of the. We also, of course, submit the priority list set by the GMPR. Just a moment. And priority list for veterinary drugs for evaluation, re-evaluation by JECFA. These are not project documents, and I do not think these need to be actually discussed under the critical review, because it says. Selma, anything to say on those? No, I don't think that anything needs to be said on those, actually.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to remind that this is ongoing business, usual business, that the Commission approves certain commodity pesticide combinations or certain wet drugs for evaluation by the GMPR and JECFA. So it's not something special, and for these cases we don't need project documents according to procedure. Thank you.
That doesn't call for any remarks from members of the committee. We can say that we have finished the table for proposals for new work, and I thank the committee for constructive participation in doing that. And the last part we need to do on this agenda point is that in table two we have a few proposals for discontinuation of work, which is also a task for this committee to look into whether we have any comments. They are from four different committees in the Alinorm, and we also have two more proposals in the additional documents. I don't think it makes sense that I read out all the names or the titles of them. Everybody has the documents in front of them. So if there are no comments, I guess I hope everybody can just accept that these are for, we advise that they are being discontinued because they don't seem to have proper future. I see no opposition to that proposal. So that was the finalization of this document. And before we close this agenda point, I would just want to make a few closing remarks. I think that the debate, and certainly I have to realize that the half hour, the 30 minutes that I proposed as a working minutes for these proposals was a bit unrealistic. I feared that from the beginning, but we have to hope all the time to achieve the work that we need to do. But before we jump to the next agenda point, I think we could conclude that the debate today and the debate we have had earlier in the executive committee shows us that obviously we learn all the time, we gather information from what we are doing, and we may have to ask ourselves whether the criteria that I announced from the beginning, those the Alienorm 08/31/3, which is the one that we measure the proposals up against, there might be a need for looking into them, whether they have the right elements. The issue we have today, this issue of global versus regional standard, there might be some gaps in the criteria on which we measure such debates. And we can also realize that we have criteria for commodities and proposals for new work for commodity standards, but not for other types of new work. And maybe we should look into that to see if we have some criteria to do that up against. And the proposal or suggestion I would like to make is that we maybe establish a little working group within the executive committee to look into these criteria, to take up for consideration at a later point to see if we have the right criteria or they need amendments or maybe deletions at certain points. Just for consideration, I would like to propose this idea. I think if nobody opposes to that or has any specific arguments, I think we can take the initiative to do that. Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Listen carefully to your summation and suggestions. Picking up your suggestions, they look quite, I think, a pragmatic way to move forward on some of, at least procedurally. But earlier on, we had indicated that a degree of unease in the process by which we have been through the review of new work proposals against the criteria. I, for one, am not sure that we have taken a strategic approach to this exercise, bearing in mind the Commission's strategic directions with the desire to reduce the effort in the commodity area and focus work more into horizontal area, and the extent to which we are reflecting those sort of strategic shifts in consideration of the specific work proposals. I, for one, don't have a clear answer to that. But one of the things that we have been reflecting on is how can we improve the discussion and efficient conduct of this agenda item. And it seems to us, just picking up your earlier suggestion in a more specific way with regard to a possible establishment of a working group, one of the things that occurred to us may be for the Bureau to provide some guidance in the determination of new work proposals and have for the Executive Committee to have some electronic discussion in the lead up to the meetings so that we can actually conduct this business in a more efficient way. I mean, I don't know, for example, what additional costs the Codex Secretariat is going to incur with the additional session tonight. But, you know, it's just, I think, an idea that occurs to us that we could conduct the discussion on this issue somewhat more efficiently than the way we have done this time. Those are some suggestions. They are made in positive sort of light, and I hope we can find some way. But that would be one suggestion. The other thing is I don't know the extent to which the Secretariat is involved in guidance, active guidance in the preparation and development of project documentation at the committee level. I think it goes without saying that there is some value in encouraging members who submit new work proposals to actively consult with the Secretariat in to make sure that they get things right to start with and cover all the bases. The other thing is, although the procedural manual does specify a project format, I don't know that it is comprehensive. I mean, we mentioned the gaps in certain project proposals. One way to address that might be to have a comprehensive template to make sure that every project proposal addresses all of those questions. In some instances, they may not need to provide any information, but at the very least, we know that it has been addressed and a comment either or no comment has been indicated. So there are a number of areas, I think, procedurally that we can address to guide the Executive Committee in the deliberations on this important issue. Thank you.
Southwest Pacific, there's also a remark from the member of Latin American and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Coincidimos con lo señalado por el quien me precedió. Y realmente lo que quería señalar, porque lo hemos vivido de alguna manera en esta oportunidad, es que nos parece que los criterios utilizados para el examen crítico deberían volver a ser analizados. Porque, en primer lugar, creo que no hemos sido en todos los casos, no hemos tenido el mismo rigor para aplicarlos, y que todavía se sigue notando la falta de rigurosidad, porque de lo contrario hay cosas que van a pasar a la comisión que no podrían haber pasado. Con lo cual, básicamente creo que, por una parte, los aquí reunidos no logramos en todos los casos actuar con independencia para aplicar esos criterios, y por consiguiente, quizás la revisión de los criterios podrían ayudar, porque básicamente el Comité Ejecutivo lo que debería hacer es actuar con objetividad y prácticamente con independencia, porque de lo contrario vamos a repetir lo que dice o lo que hace la Comisión, y para eso está la Comisión, no el Ejecutivo. Gracias.
Thank you, Latin America. A member from Europe, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd fully agree with the last speaker that the committee needs to be objective and independent, and that we need to be fair and, what else did I write, consistent. And therefore, it is important that we continue to discuss this issue to see how we can provide a clear way forward where the committee knows what its job is, but also the membership know what the committee's job is. So I would support, certainly in the first instance, a sharing of views electronically so that we could perhaps see which may be the best way forward. Thank you.
Thank you to the member from Europe. I think I can conclude that the idea of trying to look into our criteria is gaining support from the committee, so we will take steps to make sure that this will be done. Concerning the issue of being objective and fair and then do our job, I certainly agree that this must always be the attempt of what we are doing. I don't think it's really possible to write much more papers on that. Criteria, we must have criteria for how we do the work, and maybe we should also discuss in the future how we use these criteria. That means, are we rigorous enough, are we objective enough, are we fair enough in the way we treat these issues. So I think I would like to thank the committee for accepting the proposal, and we will take it on board and do it. And obviously, any advice, any good idea from the committee on how to improve the work of this committee is welcome in the Bureau. We are certainly interested in discussing and taking all the initiatives we can to improve the quality of the work and improve the efficiency of the work. It is certainly in our interest to do that. We will take the steps that we find appropriate to do that. And obviously any idea to us is welcome, and we discuss that on a running basis in the Bureau. So with these final remarks, I should like to thank you all very much for accepting these, chairing these agenda points, and now I will move away from the chair and turn it back to our real chair of the committee for commencing the agenda. Thank you.
Delegates, thank you. We are ready to begin discussion of our next item, in which we take up work that this committee alone does, and that is to review applications for observer status in Codex. As you may recall, we do not record the discussion of this item. The audio recording has already been shut off.
Should be shut off.
Or it should be shut off if it has not been shut off. As you recall, the document is CX Exec 09626. We are invited, we provide advice regarding the application for observer status from international non-governmental organizations, and it is the Director's General of FAO and WHO who make the final decision. I will allow the Secretariat to tell us about the status of the new applications we have, the reapplications that we have, and the review of observers with status other than those two. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I propose to go through all the new applications and then pause for any comments that the members may want to make. The first two organizations, Euroglass and EUSALT, were asked to reapply for observer status as they had significantly changed their own statutes. So thus as to be in line and as to allow a re-examination whether their new statutes are in line with our principles concerning the participation of international non-governmental organizations in the work of Codex, they were asked to reapply. They have done so. The applications were checked by us and by the legal services, and were found to be in good order. They are, the applications are within the document, and additional information found in the CRDs 1 and 2. I may even stop here so we can finish those two off maybe right away. So if there are any comments on Euroglass and EUSALT, please let us know now.
Member from North America, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In their application, Euroglass does note that it is a member or an active participant and member of the Confederation of Food and Drink Industries of the EU. which is already an observer organization. I believe that had been part of the consideration in looking at new applications, so perhaps this group would not be eligible as a result of that.
Thank you very much for the comment. As a matter of fact, the pure membership in a larger organization is not as such an inhibiting factor in accordance with the procedures. It is in the procedures that that this is, just a moment, I will just get my document, and that observer status is not normally granted, I think, but maybe. So, on the other hand, you're right, this organization may have actually had its first observer status before we had the criteria. So we may not have looked at that at that point. So, and now as the reapplication comes, we're looking at that. So, as this is a very specific group dealing with a very specific item, we could ask them on it. We could actually say, well, could you please clarify your status within this larger organization? This slipped both our view and also the legal services view. That was not. We had discussions on other points, but not on this one. So, if this seems to be an obstacle, I'm still trying to find the relevant point. But there are other members speaking. Okay.
Well, the secretary searches the procedural manual. We'll take comment from the member for Europe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the member for North America raises a valid point. And we normally make this point where, say, a European organization is a member of a big international ice cream federation or something. There isn't one. I suspect in this particular case, because the Confederation of Food and Drink Industries, the CIAA, is a representative of lots of sectors of the food industry, I suspect that some of the observers of Codex are themselves already also members of this CIAA, which is going to be unable, I suspect, to represent every sector. So I think to be consistent, we'd have to check back if we were going to adopt that rule. I have to say, one wonders why this organization needs to come to Codex, but I do note that they have been enjoying, they say, observer status for many decades, so they're presumably regular attenders according to this. So we wouldn't have any great problems. In fact, you know, this is a long, laborious exercise. I think we need to be very strong on if we're rejecting people. Thank you.
Thank you. Member for Europe, member for Latin America and Caribbean.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Suponemos que si los objetivos efectivamente de la Asociación de Laderos están vinculados con la inocuidad de alimentos, tendrían justificado su ingreso como observador al Codex. Pero aquí se trata de aplicar las reglas. Y lo que recordamos es que en otras oportunidades lo que hemos dicho respecto a esta participación en organizaciones más grandes es que los habilitaría de alguna manera a tener una doble representación en una reunión del Codex, por sí mismos y a través de la organización o federación superior. Entonces, me parece que en realidad lo que deberíamos es, porque ya lo hemos hecho y ya hemos rechazado a otros, lo que deberíamos es actuar con coherencia en la aplicación de las disposiciones del manual de procedimientos, porque de lo contrario no vamos a ser justos, o ahora o antes. Y creo que eso es lo más importante que debería reflejar este comité ejecutivo al dar la calidad de observador. Si ha habido fallas antes, tenemos que tratar de corregirlas. Pero básicamente lo que se señaló en oportunidades anteriores es que todos aquellos que están integrados en una asociación superior o de primer nivel tendrían una doble representación si lograran su calidad de observador. Gracias.
Thank you, Member for Latin America and the Caribbean. The Secretary will point us to language in the procedural manual that I hope will guide us to an answer here.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The paragraph that I was looking for is the final paragraph in 4.2 of our principles, and it reads, observer status at specific meetings will not normally be granted to individual organizations that are members of a larger organization authorized and that intends to represent them at these meetings. So if you look at that phrase, actually, that does not give us a lot of mandate to exclude organizations exclude them from observer status, but exclude them from specific meetings. We have been applying this a little bit stricter in the last few meetings, because obviously we want to, that was due to mention from the legal services to avoid double representation. On the other hand, we have been looking at that basically, let's say in the case of BOIC, in the case of the European Consumer Organization and Consumers International, where we found a solution on how this should be solved, but there we have to say both are consumer organizations. We have looked at it when we were discussing different organizations representing bottled water, and we're going to come to that point a little bit later, organizations, because there were different regions already represented, and then there was the international organization also wanting to become a member. It was the other way around in this case. So the case we have here is, as the member from Europe has correctly said, we have one organization dealing with a very specific industry being a member of a large organization that represents very different industries. And should we ever have an issue on ice creams, this organization would not be able to represent Euroglass, the interest of this specific producer area. And this is certainly not the reason why they're members of this larger organization. So, as I mentioned, the rules, basically our rules, our principles, say only that observer status at specific meetings will not normally be granted to individual organizations that are members of a larger organization authorized and that intends to represent them at these meetings, which is what we have been implementing in the case of BOIC, because we have been saying in the case of BOIC, if Consumers International will be represented at the meeting, then BOIC would not be sending a separate group, but would be represented through Consumers International. So we have been applying this not at the level of granting or not granting membership. We have also been encouraging members of larger organizations, could they not be represented through the bigger organization, but the rules that we have do not give us the mandate as such to exclude organizations because of being member of another who is Codex observer. If we wanted that, we needed to amend the rules. And we have not been, in our review of the organizations, excluding any organizations because of this. We We have been asking for clarification in order to avoid any double representation, but in many cases this just does not arise, this problem. Thank you very much.
The secretary will has, in addition to this reading of the procedural manual, will refresh our memory of actions that this committee has taken when we have faced similar situations, and certainly we if in our judgment that was a rational and valid decision, we should act in a consistent manner. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. What we have been doing in our previous actions is actually everything to implement that last paragraph. We had long discussions on it, how to do it, in the case of Boy, for instance. But we have acted in order to make sure that there would not be two organizations present at one meeting that would be representing the same thing, so that there would be a double representation of this. Euroglass says they're interested in food labeling, in food additives, etc., in other meetings. In this case, we should, in order to be consistent, admit them on the understanding that if a CIAA delegation intends to be present at a certain meeting, then Euroglass would seek representation through them, in the same case as we have done for Boyk, in the same case as we have recommended for bottled waters, even though for bottled waters we're going to find a different solution, luckily. And our other option is, if we're not happy with that, we could go back to Euroglass and say, please clarify your relation with the CIAA. How do you deal, how do you see yourself, your organization, and CIAA act within Codex? How do you see this relationship? What would actually be the representation? So we could ask them to clarify. That would be another proposal. So from my opinion, we could, acting in line with what we have been doing previously, accept them. Well, they are already a member, an observer. That we have to see as well. They are observer. To re-accept them under their new statutes, and to put the same safeguard on them as we did for Boyk, or we say, well, we can wait for one more year, basically because they are observers. They have not been suspended or terminated. They are observers. They don't lose anything by waiting another year or waiting another session of the executive committee. We ask them to clarify this. That is a very valid option. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that additional clarification. Member for North America, please.
Yes, and thank you for the reminder of how we have dealt with similar situations in the past. As I remember, and I may not be remembering it completely, in the case of the consumers organizations, I believe we did talk to, I think we did engage both the organizations, so the umbrella organization as well as the individual organization, to have them present their proposal on how they would manage the relationship so that only one organization was speaking to a particular issue. The member from Europe has noted that this particular industry organization does represent quite a number of other industry organizations. So perhaps a similar approach could be used with them, whereby we ask how they plan to manage issues being presented, because it's likely that we have other members that could be in a similar situation.
Thank you very much, member for North America. That sounds a reasonable suggestion. Member from Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias. En el mismo sentido, me parece que la única manera de solucionar el problema y de que quedara constancia de ello es que el comité ejecutivo, al aceptar la participación de estas organizaciones que están nucleadas en otras, establezca las medidas de salvaguardia o al menos le instruya al secretariado que tiene que establecer en el acto de aceptación como observador de determinada asociación cuáles son las medidas de salvaguardia que se van a tomar para que no haya doble representación en las reuniones. Y en particular, si es el secretariado el que interviene en la lista de participantes o de acreditación de observadores en todas las reuniones del Códex. Porque de lo contrario, si se trata solamente de los secretariados de los comités, pueden que no tengan permanentemente presente cuál es la relación entre distintas organizaciones que pueden estar vinculadas. Entonces, me parece que el comité ejecutivo debería instruir al secretariado respecto a las medidas de salvaguardia y de la instrucción que tiene que dar a cada comité cuando se presenten estos casos o los vínculos entre las asociaciones que tienen relaciones. Gracias.
Thank you, member for Latin America and the Caribbean. You are suggesting that the letter with the communication with the organizations, both ask them for clarification and of their view of how they would participate, and essentially get their commitment that they would not doubly represent. This is because this is the rule of the commission, that there not be double representation. There is a certain enforcement component also that you suggest that I suppose is inevitable, will have to be exercised. Secretary. I'm sorry, member for Asia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, actually, we know that this organization has expertise in the area of ice cream, but we all know that the committee dealing with ice cream stopped existing for, I don't remember how many, but many years. And this submission indicates that their area of interest is basically labeling food additives and hygiene, sort of general areas. And I think it is really likely that CIAA is present in these CCFL, CCFA, and CCFH. So I'm rather now inclined for the idea of CCLAC that, you know, clarification should be requested to these two, the parent and the subordinate organization, about the participation status. Thank you.
Thank you, member for Asia. We are past the time that we were meant to conclude to give the interpreters their justified break. And I think we must stop now. We will reconvene at 7:05. And I hope move more quickly through the remainder of the move along quickly through the remainder of this this agenda item. course, we will initially conclude this particular open item on Euroglass. Thank you. See you at 7:05.